mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Let's bow our heads and pray. You are the mighty one, O Lord, today. And we are grateful to be in your presence and pray for the power of your Spirit to rest on us during this service of worship and fill our hearts with love and joy and laughter. We thank you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are so glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. I especially greet you if you're a first-time visitor and invite you to fill out a welcome card that's in the pew. We'd like to get to know you a little bit better and hope you feel at home among us. We try to make everybody feel like they're a part of us when you walk through these doors. You're not a stranger. You are part of the family of God. And so we are so grateful to all of you for being here. I have a couple of things I wanted to mention. One was the first-time visitors to fill out our card, and the other was we have charge conference coming up on Saturday. We've been putting it in the bulletin, and it is a charge conference where all the churches in the district are gathering together, which is why it's on Saturday, November the 11th at 9 o'clock at Crossroad United Methodist Church. But we're going to meet here at 8 o'clock and carpool together to Crossroad, which is on Gate Parkway. And we'll go together as a church and rally for our church while we're there. Everyone is welcome to come. Of course, council members are expected to come. And we hope to see you all on Saturday for charge conference here in the church parking lot at 8 o'clock. And one thing we do here in our church to make each other welcome is to greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning. We are so glad that we are here in the house of the Lord today. Let's get an amen.
Amen.
Amen. My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I am your liturgist for this month. I've been a little out of commission because I had total knee replacement, so I'm finally getting myself back into the groove of things. So thank you, God, for that. We do have some announcements in your bulletin. I would appreciate if you would kind of go over some of those on your own. I will highlight a couple. Friendship Club. They're still having the potluck and the program this Thursday at 9, but there will not be a guest speaker. The guest speaker had to cancel. I meant November 9th. Thursday, November 9th, here at the church, potluck and a program. But again, the guest speaker had to cancel. Let's see here. Pastor Esther had just mentioned the charge conference that's happening. I wanted to bring your attention to the salty service cards. I don't know if we ever talk about it enough, but if you have any type of assistance with the food pantry or the Love Bugs, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, any other mission projects of our church that reach out outside of these walls here, out into the community, you need to place one or two or however you felt the Holy Spirit leads your heart to place those in the offering plate. Okay, and I believe that Barbara had an announcement. Very good. The other announcement that I have is there will be a meeting tomorrow night at the Fellowship Hall at 6. And this is going to be kind of like a recap of the whole pumpkin patch experience. From the beginning, from the time that we request the pumpkins, and then we get the pumpkins, and then we get everything out, I think what needs to happen is that if there was anything that might have been, could be a little different or helped a little bit better in that experience, we want all of your comments, good, bad, or as it said, whoever here, it's a good, bad, or ugly, but not too ugly. We just need some additional comments about it as to how the whole thing went across. And so they're having that meeting again. It's tomorrow, Monday, the 6th, and it's at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. Are there any other announcements that I am not aware of? Okay. All right. Well, if we could go to the back of our bulletin for the opening words. For all the saints who have gone before us, God, we give thanks for our ancestors in the faith. For all the saints who have been beloved to us, God, we give thanks for our loved ones who have passed on. For all the saints who have left us too soon, God, we mourn their passing and they remain in our hearts. For all the saints who have exemplified the faithful life, God, may we learn from their ways and follow you. And then on this day, we name all those who are in our hearts. Do you want to do that now? Okay. You can speak aloud the names of the saints in our hearts. Marlene Stone. Ivy Gernhard. Hallelujah, and praise God for that. For all the saints, God, we give thanks to you. On earth, in heaven, we are one. We are your children. We thank you for those who have gone before us. May we forgive those for whom we did not have an opportunity to forgive. May we know that we are forgiven for our own sins. May we know that we are loved by the same God, from this life into eternity. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who lived, who died, and who lives eternally. Amen and amen.
If you would please stand and turn to 364 in your hymnals, we will sing Because He Lives.
Sweet to home.
Please be seated.
Is that all the children we've got today? The children are invited to come forward. You know what? I bet you they're all home eating their Halloween candy. You already ate all your candy. Well, you just got a lot of candy? Yeah, I bet you have so much candy that you don't even need this candy. I promise I will give you some candy, but I want to ask you a question first about competition. What is competition? Somebody can tell me what competition is? What's the answer, Christian? When you win against somebody? When you go against somebody? Okay. But it does involve winning and losing usually, right? A competition means somebody wins and somebody loses. And I bet you, some of you in school have had people pick you for a team. Don't you have captains on those teams? And they have to pick from the class who they want to be on their team. And what do you think it feels like to be the last person picked? Horrible. Why would it feel horrible to be the last person picked? Because you're the last person to get picked. Okay, that was an obvious question. Yes, we sometimes don't think about those people that are picked last. What if we had teams that were a little bit different? Teams that not only focused on winning and losing, but teams that also focused on helping everybody, letting everybody be a part, letting everybody participate. I see that. I see your boo-boo. Yes, I do. Thank you for telling me about that. That's very important to know that he has a boo-boo. But yes, we want to talk about teams that are different. Our scripture passage today says, all who are exalted will be humbled, and all who are humbled will be exalted. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about making people feel lifted up when they feel bad or when they're down for some reason, but sharing in a life that's about being together, that's about helping everyone and not putting anyone down. That's what we're talking about in our scripture today. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, O God, for the wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you, O God, that he came for the children, for the sake of your children, all of us, and especially these this morning. May they continue to grow in your grace and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now you may have some candy. Just one. Do you want that? All righty then. There you go. Yeah, me. We'll continue to serve and worship God this morning through the giving of our gifts. I would like to invite the ushers to come as we prepare to give our morning offering. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks and praise for each and every day that you have blessed us with. On this particular day, we thank you for the gifts that you bring our way, and we pray, dear God, that you will use what we offer to you through our love. In Jesus' name. be seated.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you George Thomas.
Amen.
Thank you very much. That was beautiful. Make sure to, comment to George on his goatee. Because it's new. Apparently, he's had it for about 2 months now. Anyway, we are so glad that George is among us, and we are grateful to him for sharing not only the gift of his piano, but also the gift of his singing as well. I want us to turn to page 7 and 8 in our hymnals as we prepare to, this morning, make a confession to God before we come to our knees at the altar table, at the communion rail. I do want to mention a little word of prayer for my dad, if I could take a personal privilege. We found out that he has a blood clot in his leg, and so we are wanting to keep him in prayer. And I know there are others, too, who would like to be lifted up in prayer. And we will do that this week in our time of prayer. But if you would, at the bottom of page 7, follow along with me as I make the invitation, and then on the second page we unite together in sharing our confession of sin, and then we give each other pardon. You pardon me, and I pardon you, and we give thanks to God. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbor. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
The scriptures for today are found in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. And if you're reading from the Pew Bible, they are on page 31. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
At this point in the book of Matthew, things are getting pretty tense between the scribes and Pharisees and Jesus and his followers. And the particular passage or verse today that I will be looking at is the very last verse, verse 12 of what she read, of what Rhonda read for us, was all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. here in the church, we talk a lot about service and servanthood and servant leadership. But what exactly might that mean? There are servants all around us, but by nature of being servants, they are frequently invisible to us. We do not notice them. And today, I would like to shine a light on those servants. In 2003, there was a study done by two psychologists called what has been known to be called the cookie experiment. You may have even remembered that or heard of something like that, the cookie experiment. This experiment was about power and how power affects our sense of entitlement. Well, in the experiment, groups of three people, either all men or all women, were asked to discuss various political issues and make recommendations. However, one of the three participants, was asked to be the judge and rate the recommendations from the other two participants. So this placed one of the participants, the so-called judge, in a high power position relative to the others. Well, after about 30 minutes, the experimenter brought in to the participants five cookies on a plate. Five cookies and three people. How were they going to be divided? Someone would not get a second cookie. So who do you think that would be? What the researchers observed was that the person in the high power position, the position of judge, was significantly more likely to take a second cookie compared to the other two. In addition, the person who was the judge was more likely to eat with their mouth open and leave crumbs on the table. In other words, power affects us. Power tempts us to take more cookies for ourselves. And power tempts us to leave messes for other people to clean up. In the reading from Matthew, Jesus says, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." Now, I'm not that well versed in political science, but I am aware, in light of the findings of the cookie experiment, of how power adversely affects us. Jesus' call to us is to eschew status and power, to humble ourselves and become a servant. Right? Isn't that what he says? But it is hard, if not impossible, to remove ourselves from the power structures that we live within and work with every day. And sometimes we're not even aware of those power structures. Now, I believe that the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus had so much trouble with were well-intentioned people. And they probably viewed themselves as servant leaders. I know they didn't see themselves as the enemy. I expect that they saw these various political and religious institutions that they led as organizations that served people. And yet, Jesus points out something had gone wrong. Something about being in high places was having a corrosive effect, which they could not see for themselves, and it took Jesus to point it out to them. But we are left with a question that if we can't extricate ourselves from this power system, how might we resist the allure of power and the desire to exalt ourselves? I would like to share an example of something I think might be helpful. I want to suggest how we might focus more on using whatever power is available to us in any given situation to do what Jesus suggests we do and exalt and lift up the humblest servants among us. In every organization, you know this to be true, even the church, there are those who are already serving at the lowest level of the power hierarchy, those who were working in ignoble roles, and these people are usually unseen, existing only in the shadows. Consequently, making unseen people visible within the power hierarchy can be one way to exalt and lift up the humble. So what happened was a department chair, a professor in an American university that I happened to go to for one semester, possessed a degree of power within the organization of the university. She can note and bring attention to those at the bottom because she is a person at the top, and I happened to be her student for one semester. She can exalt the Hispanic women who clean the school's bathrooms at night. The students never see this woman because they are low-wage night shift workers working for a company that had contracted with the university. And many hours after the faculty had gone home and the students had gone home, these women came and cleaned during the evening. They vacuum, they take out the trash, and they clean the toilets. And in the morning, when the students and faculty return, it's as if magic elves had come during the night and cleaned it all up. It was all shiny and brand spanking new again. And it did not enter their awareness at all that there was somebody in the shadows needing to be exalted. So this hierarchy structure is usually invisible to us, at least those of us on the top. They are nameless and faceless frequently, like so many others in the world who are serving at the bottom of the power hierarchy. Those on top do not see what happens with those on the bottom. So there's definitely a conversation that needs to be had here about justice and economics. But before we get to that conversation, we have to care. And before we can care, we have to see. So So one Christmas, this professor contacts the supervisor of the cleaning company to get the name of the woman who's been cleaning the building at night. She then shares that name with the students in her class, and they take up a collection for a Christmas present to say thank you to the woman. And this is what the professor hopes will happen by doing this exercise. That after graduation, wherever her students find themselves, she'd like for us to exalt the humble, to lift up the servants. But to do this, we have to train ourselves to see the humble and to see the servants, because sometimes they are awfully hard to spot. My own hope in telling you all of this is that these stories cause that in some future bathroom, whether it's of a workplace or an institution like a hospital or a doctor's office, to be interrupted by the thought, someone cleans this toilet. Should I not know his or her name? That's what I want, for you to stop and think if there are servants that are unseen that can be exalted and lifted up. That pause, that interruption is my hope. These questions make the invisible visible and begin to exalt the humble. Such questions begin to lift up the servants. And I think that's what Jesus wants of us. That's exactly his words. All who are exalted will be humbled, and all who are humble will be exalted. And I hope it begins to give us a pause when we want to take another cookie. Amen and amen. I tell you every week that I am your servant. And that is our call as people who have received grace, who have accepted the love of God in Christ in our lives. It's to see people who need that grace, to see those who we don't normally see, to lift up those that are humble, and to bring to the Lord all God's children, whoever they are, wherever they work. We are all the same. That's what Jesus taught us. And we're going to partake in the service of Holy Communion. Can you assist with this? Thank you, Rhonda. Jesus served his followers. And that's one reason I don't take communion until after all of you have been served. Have you noticed that? I don't take communion first. I take communion after you have been served, to remind myself that I am nothing but a servant. And that's why we come to this table. We remind ourselves that we have come to serve. Everybody is welcome. Everybody is invited. This is not my table or the Methodist Church's table. It is God's table. And it is up to you and your relationship with God and what you seek from Him. I pray that you will find as you kneel when you come. Jesus on that night took a piece of the bread and he broke it. And he gave it to them. He served them and he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me." He also took the cup, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of him and be thankful." The gifts of God for the people of God are prepared and waiting for you. We will serve the choir first. They will come, and then the ushers will instruct you to come and kneel to receive God's elements. And if you cannot come, we will take it to you in your pew where you are. Will you come?
If you'd please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing "The River Is Here."
Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May His presence and power rest upon you as you leave this place, go in His peace.